We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thank you so much for making this part of your day. My name is Nick Schmitz, and I will be your host on this Sunday, April 14th, 2024. About 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, we are in full draft coverage here at Pack-A-Day Podcast now. And, well, it's been a hot minute since I've done any draft coverage. I love the NFL draft. I love watching it, as I'm sure most everybody else out there does. As we all know, the NFL draft is now TV show number two for the NFL. It is the biggest TV show they have that's not the regular season. So it is definitely very big for the NFL, Green Bay drafting 25th this year. And joining me today, Brennan Roop. He has been on Pack-A-Day Podcast before, all the way back in 2020, the infamous Jordan Love draft, which I'm sure at the time, Brennan, everybody was scratching their head. And now it looks like that, even if everybody else from that draft class sucks, if Jordan Love continues to play the way he's been playing, I think you can give that draft an A. I'm sure I remember watching that draft, scratching my head. What are we doing? What is going on? And so, Brennan, this is the first time you and I have done anything together. So welcome to the show. It is great to meet you. And since it's been a little while, I'm just going to turn the floor over to you just for a couple of minutes, let you introduce yourself to the audience, anything you want them to know about you. So go ahead, take it away and introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Brennan. Grew up in Southwest Minnesota, and I do remember talking about that draft on that. I think it was Friday or Saturday, the week after. And it wasn't just the Jordan Love pick. It was the A.J. Dillon, taking A.J. Dillon in the second round, Josiah DeGuara in the third round. It was just one of those things where it was like, what was Brian Gutekunst doing? Well, Jordan Love has turned out to be kind of a great pick. So I think he gets a pass on the A.J. Dillon, even though A.J. Dillon's been serviceable. He gets a pass for the rest of the draft class. He nailed the quarterback, which is the most important position. So we'll give him a pass on that. I write for Packers Wire. I think when I was on last time, I wrote on for a website called Game On Wisconsin. You guys maybe are familiar with my work over there for the Unpacking Future Packers Countdown. That's all you really need to know about me. I'm ready to just dive into this draft class. We're, 11 days away from the draft, if my math is right. So I'm ready for it to be here. I'm ready to see what Brian Gutekunst does this time. Maybe he's going to hit another home run out of the park with a first-round pick. So I'm ready to talk about this class.
Well, and that'll be interesting to see if he, you know, Ted Thompson, notorious for trading out of the first round. So, we'll see. That'll be very interesting. Today, though, Brennan, you and I are going to be looking at each position in the draft and looking at strengths and weaknesses. And it's funny, we were talking before the show. It seems like this draft, like as far as a lot of the positions Green Bay needs, inside linebacker, safety, not a great draft for those positions. But we'll go ahead and take a look at each one of them and just, kind of look at, you know, is it a strong draft class? Is it a weak draft class? And so we'll just go through all of them. So let's start at the top. quarterback. You know, this is a very top-heavy quarterback draft class. You know, we could potentially see four quarterbacks go with the first four picks. Arizona drafting at four doesn't need a quarterback, but they're, you know, you and I talked about it. We believe Minnesota is going to trade up. I don't know if they can get all the way up to four, but it is possible that we see four quarterbacks go in the first four picks, which would be the first time that's ever happened in the NFL draft. So there's a lot of buzz around it. You know, I used PFF when looking at this. They got four quarterbacks in round one, two in round two, and Bo Nix was one of those that they had in round two at pick 33. So you could argue five in the first round, and you've got eight in the top 100. You know, quarterback, obviously, Brennan, is a crucial position. It also seems to be the biggest crapshoot in the world when drafting. You know, again, Jordan Love is a great example, right? Green Bay traded up to, I think, 26 to go grab him. And people not only scratched their head at the selection, there were people that didn't think he was a first-round grade. People didn't think that you should have traded up like the three or four spots they did to go get him. And, you know, it seems to be working out pretty well so far. And I think, me personally, I think a lot of quarterback drafting is all due to what is the rest of the team look like, mm-hmm. right? I mean, obviously there is, can you play the position or not? But also, you know, there are just some really bad teams out there. And, like, if your team's really bad, it takes a superstar to even make them viable. So, I mean, you know, again, most important position on the field. But, you know, there's going to be probably four, if not five, taken in the first round.
It's one of those things where you talk about quarterbacks and it's a crapshoot. It's so much of it is just because the teams that are drafting them just aren't built for success for them. So you think about David Carr going to the Texans, his career was ruined before it got started because he got sacked, 72 times during his rookie season. So it's one of those things where it will be interesting to see for the Vikings. They have a great system in place. They got Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, a pretty good offensive line with Darisaw. Going to probably blank on the rest of the offensive line in there, but they have a pretty good offensive line in place. They got a good play caller. So I think if you just think about landing spots and if the Vikings are really going to trade up for it, that quarterback is probably set up for success better than New England, who has no weapons. So New England probably should be better off trading down to try to recoup some picks and get some offensive talent in the building before they get a quarterback in place. And now quarterback's the most important thing, but if you're going to draft a quarterback and you don't have an offensive line and no weapons, it's in an unproven play caller. It's just, I don't know if it's going to be a great place for him. Caleb Williams is going to be, you just pencil him to the Bears, and it'll be interesting to see if he can pan out. I mean, they have weapons there with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, but I don't know about their offensive line. So it'll just be interesting to see how it all unfolds and if the Vikings are able to move up too. Like, if they stay put, maybe they can get a great defensive player at 11 and then maybe trade back up if they feel like Michael Penix is going to be there. Like, so just, it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds for the top of the draft. Like, it would be awesome if four quarterbacks went in the top four, because then that's pushing down great players for the Packers. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. And Bo Nix, I think he, I know it's kind of one of those, I don't even know what you want to call it, but he's like a lightning rod. It seems like some people really love him, some people don't like him. I think if he goes somewhere like the Raiders, it'll be interesting to see how he develops with Devontae Adams. So it'll be fun to kind of see where these quarterbacks land, and even a Spencer Rattler going on day two just to see where he goes. It'll be fun to see the landing spots and who can be maybe this year's Brock Purdy.
Yeah, and, you know, quarterback position, you know, is obviously it's hard to evaluate for all the reasons that we said. But, you know, it seems like beyond Caleb Williams, every quarterback that is going to be drafted has some type of question mark surrounding them. Doesn't mean that it's, you know, going to affect them poorly, but, you know, and then, of course, Caleb Williams is the only one that seems like a for sure slam dunk and is going to go to Chicago, where, I mean, they could screw up a one-car funeral there in Chicago. So, you know, it seems like a very strong draft class. Clearly, if there are teams like the Vikings looking to trade up, I would say quarterback is at least, you know, if you're a quarterback needy team, but this is a draft to get yourself in position to take one. Again, I fully believe that Minnesota got that pick from the Texans late in the first round to use it as ammunition to move up. So it looks like the Vikings are going to be doing that. Quarterback seems like a pretty strong contender in this draft. Then let's move to probably one of the weakest positions, Brennan, which is running back. There's some good depth in here. There's really no stars. PFF has no first-round running backs. They've got one in the second round and five total in the top 100. I mean, you know, last year you had Bijan Robinson, and that was, you know, he went, what, seven, I think, to Atlanta was somewhere. But running back, Brennan, is a very interesting position because I personally, I would never select a running back in the first round with the way the league is today. Like, I just don't. Maybe if you're late first round, but I don't think you should ever spend a top 10 pick on a running back. As good as they can be, they're just the way the NFL works. It's the ROI on a running back in the top 10 just doesn't make sense to me, unless you maybe have somebody like an Adrian Peterson. But even then with Adrian Peterson, I mean, how many playoff games did they win with Adrian Peterson?
Yeah, you know? It's one of those things where I agree with you 100%. I always go back to what Daniel Jeremiah said back in the day when I was in a press conference with him. He said, you should never draft a first-round running back unless you're drafting like in the late 20s, and then you are maybe just a playmaker away, a home run hitter away from taking your offense to the next level. And this was during the Travis Etienne year. And so, like, yeah, if you're drafting the top 10, you have so many other holes on the roster that you need to address other than running back. So, I don't know. You look at Robinson, what he did last year. He did okay. He's kind of handcuffed by Arthur Smith, but I don't think he really made the impact that Atlanta was hoping for. And now, granted, they didn't have a quarterback either, so which is another reason why you shouldn't have taken him, because you had so many other holes on the roster. So this year's class, no first round talent. I don't even think necessarily there's a second round talent. I think Jonathan Brooks, the Texas running back, is the best one of the bunch, and he's coming off a torn ACL, so I would be surprised if he didn't get if he got drafted in the top 64, I think someone's going to take him in the third round just because I think he has that ability to be a dynamic playmaker. Someone kind of like in the Robinson mold. Maybe he's a discounted Bijan Robinson. Really shifty, strong, quick, tackle breaking machine. And then I think after him, there's going to be maybe four or five running backs taken in the top 100. And then I think there's just like a bunch of complimentary pieces on day three that the Packers can maybe target, like a Will Shipley from Clemson, or the kid from Louisville that tore up the combine. I'm blanking on his name right now. Isaiah Davis from SDSU. There's gems on day three, but I just don't know if there's, like, this is why it's one of the weakest positions. I think I ranked it the fourth worst position. I have safety, tight end, and linebacker as the weakest, with running back just a tier above, just because I do think there's a lot of complementary pieces. Maybe no bell cow or lead back, but I think there's some great pieces, like a Trey Benson from Florida State, I think, has a chance to be the lead back for a running back room. So, and he's one of those guys that's going to be probably taken in the top 100.
Yeah, and, you know, this is definitely a position that, you know, this actually might work well for Green Bay this year, in the sense that, you know, they've got Josh Jacobs. He's going to be your starter. I know everybody was hoping for him and Aaron Jones. That's obviously not the case. You know, A.J. Dillon is back, but, you know, and man, trust me, I don't know a whole lot about contracts. I just look for how long it is and how much money. But everything that I've read about A.J. Dillon's contract this year is he is playing for his job in camp, right? That if by the end of camp, if they think they got something better elsewhere, they can cut him and it's not going to cost them anything. But so Green Bay definitely needs depth, it feels like, because the A.J. Dillon thing is weird because – it feels like they'll move on from him after this year, even if he's on the team. So this is definitely a position of like need for depth, which is what feels like this position group this year is, but it's not very strong. Obviously, you know, we say all this with obviously, you know, Aaron Jones was drafted in the fifth round. Nobody thought he was going to be any good. And now, I mean, we're all sitting here very depressed that he's no longer on the team. So, you know, and then A.J. Dillon, you know, conversely, you know, he was drafted in the second round, and he's been serviceable, but I think we would all agree for where he was drafted, like, he has not lived up to his draft selection spot. So, But I mean, as far as what we know, it's not a very strong position this year, but it is definitely something I expect Green Bay to target, you know, not in the first or second round, because I don't think there's anybody that they should be taking. But as we get later into the draft, I wouldn't be surprised to see Green Bay take one, maybe even two running backs later in the draft. So
I think that's why having Dylan is just like a nice like safety net, because if Gutekunst doesn't trade up, he's going to have 11 picks at his disposal. So like it gives him a little flexibility to maybe take a Jonathan Brooks, who is a really talented running back, who probably would be a lock to go in the second round if he hadn't torn his ACL. So like maybe taking Jonathan Brooks when you have four day two picks is just a nice little luxury pick where he can maybe just ease his way back from the injury, and you can lean on AJ Dillon for a little while. And then Jonathan Brooks comes back the second half of the season and is just a monster. So it's just, it's nice to have that flexibility, but I would be surprised if they take one in the first two rounds. Maybe it's the third round, or maybe early day three was where they add somebody.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a look at the wide receiver room now. This year, again, another deep wide receiver class, obviously headlined by Marvin Harrison Jr. It will be interesting to see where he goes, because, I mean, I don't think any team would be mad if he went number one. Obviously, quarterback is far more important than wide receiver, because my belief is wide receivers are only as good as their quarterbacks. You can have all the skill in the world, and if you can't have anybody throw you the ball, you're useless. But this is another deep class. I mean, there's three that are projected to potentially go in the top 10, six in the first round, 10 plus in the top 100. And Brennan, this is an interesting, for as good as this wide receiver class is, this is an interesting conversation that I've seen with Packer fans, that there are people out there that say Green Bay needs to add at the wide receiver room. And like, I don't see that as much as everybody else, and maybe I'm missing something, but I've had this conversation before, right? Obviously, I'm sure some of it is due to the concern with Christian Watson and his hamstrings, right? And that's a fair question. Mm-hmm. But Romeo Dobbs has been proven to be a solid player. I mean, I don't think at this point, I wouldn't call him a star, but he's a solid player. He had a hell of a playoff run.
Yeah.
You know, Wicks seems to be like the star that you found in what, the fifth or sixth round?
Mm-hmm, fifth round.
Yeah. Bo Melton, I mean, I know it's a small sample size with him, but he made the most of the opportunities when he was given it. And Jaden Reed, you could almost argue, is the best receiver on the team. And, you know, he was a rookie last year, right? And so if you want to argue, well, they're all young, well, drafting a receiver doesn't help with that. So,
no.
I mean, it seems like, I don't know, with Green Bay right now, even if, and this would never happen, but like even in a world where Marvin Harrison Jr. falls to 25, like Green Bay, like it doesn't feel like you would spend first of all, Green Bay doesn't do that in the first place. Yeah. They don't spend first round picks on receivers. But even then, it feels like they have bigger needs than it. Not to say that you wouldn't draft a wide receiver at any point in this draft if you're Green Bay, but it does not seem like even as deep as a draft as it is. And maybe that actually lends itself that it's such a deep draft that, yeah, you can take a flyer on a guy in the fourth or fifth round and feel like you're getting good value. But it doesn't seem to me like a position Green Bay needs to heavily target, if at all. Like if Green Bay came out of this draft drafting no wide receivers, I don't think it would be that big of an issue.
No, I'm in the camp that it'd be a rich get richer type pick if you took one. Like it's not necessary. And I guess to me, I'm someone that thinks that if you don't get one of the early ones, then I don't think you should even just – because I don't think – if you're drafting the guy on day three, I don't know if they're going to beat out a Bo Melton for a roster spot. Like, I just don't think that's going to be the case. I think if you're going to spend one, it would have to be in the second or third round. And even then, I just think there's so many other positions that need to be addressed. Now, Green Bay's never drafted for need, and they are really good – have a really good hit rate on success for taking receivers on day two. But I don't know if Jalen McMillan is going to offer something different to that offense that – Jaden Reed offers already. So it's just, and it's Keon Coleman, someone that you want to draft on day two instead of a safety or a running back or an offensive lineman. I just don't know if the value is there. And if Brian Thomas Jr. fell to 25, maybe you can have that discussion. But like you said, Green Bay hasn't taken a receiver in the first round since 2002. So it's just, I don't see it happening. It could be one of those things where all these fans want to draft one just because they see how sexy this group is, and they just want to get a bite of the apple. That's what I would think.
Football season is over. College basketball season is over. The NBA and NHL regular seasons are almost over. But guess what? We are still in a wonderful sports time of year with the start of a new baseball season already kicked off and NHL and NBA playoffs right around the corner. And what better way to get hyped for playoff hoops in hockey than by signing up for Prize Picks and getting in on the excitement with America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks is the place where you can use your knowledge to take $10 and turn it into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball entries today. That's 100 times your money with as few as 4 correct picks. And here's something I haven't even mentioned yet. You can play against some of Prize Picks' favorite players like Meek Mill or Sugar Shane O'Malley. Just go to Community Plays under the Promos tab to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community. And one of my favorite aspects of Prize Picks too is injury insurance. Your entries will stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For example, let's say you have a basketball player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second half. That player projection won't count against you and the rest of your entry still stays alive. This week, I'm going NBA heavy. I'm looking for a Bucks bounce back with Giannis, a fiery Kevin Durant to end the season, and Luka Doncic going scorched earth as they try to secure a better seed. Listen, I'm having a blast with Prize Picks, and you should be too. So download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, well, and, you know, this could work to Green Bay's advantage, too, with, you know, six potentially going in the first round. If it's not a position of need, you know, for you as a team, that just means that there are other players that are falling to you at, you know, potentially 25, or, you know, if you wait, maybe want to trade up a few spots to get somebody. It's obviously good. But yeah, this wide receiver class, you know, again, I'm not going to pretend to know anything beyond Marvin Harrison Jr. but from everything I've seen and read, it's a very deep class. So, but I tend to agree with you as well. You know, once you maybe get outside of pick 120, you know, again, like you said, is that pick going to be, you know, how closely are they going to be challenging even somebody like Bo Melton or Malik Heath to take that roster spot? I mean,
yeah,
a perfect example is Samori Toure. He was taken, what, the same year he was taken in the seventh round the same year as Watson and Dobbs. And I mean, he's already the bottom of the depth chart for receivers, right? And so,
and that's the other thing too, is that he's still on the roster. So, is someone that you're going to take in the fifth or sixth round this year going to beat out a three-year veteran now who's been around the camp, who knows what the offense looks like? I don't know if the value is there on day three to take somebody. And I think if you take one on day two, he's got to provide something different to the offense. I just don't know if there's going to be a fit there.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to tight end. This is a position, too, that Green Bay struck gold with last year, Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. It's hard to feed that many mouths because at this point they're both basically, I mean, they're both great pass catchers. So if you play both of them on the field at the same time, you can have, what, three wide receivers on the field alongside with them. You know, this is – Green Bay did a great job last year because it is Brock Bowers and a bunch of meh after him is what it feels like this year. You know, I mean, there are some people saying Brock Bowers could go top 10. He's for sure going to go somewhere in the first round, but this is a position that is, this is actually one of the few times this year where it's a position that's not great and Green Bay doesn't need anything out of it necessarily. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling to think of who the third tight end is on the roster right now, but I mean, it's Kraft and Musgrave and everybody loves them right now. So
yeah,
it's a good thing that Green Bay doesn't need anything, but yeah, this is a lackluster position this year. I don't know if you have it ranked as your worst position, but I mean, it does have one star, Brock Bowers. I don't think anybody denies that they think he's going to be a great talent, but I mean, you know, the third tight end is some kid out of Iowa, which is not really all that shocking that Iowa is going to produce yet another NFL tight end, but that's even out of the top 100.
Yeah. I have it as my second to last position group. And the only reason why it's not last is because I think Brock Bowers is someone that could maybe be a Hall of Famer, where I just don't see a Hall of Fame linebacker in this draft class. But yeah, if you described it best. It's Brock Bowers and a whole lot of nothing. It just, there's nothing to get excited about after Brock Bowers. Now there's like the kid from Kansas State, I think could be a target for the Packers just because he's so versatile and he can do so many different things. He can kind of be the Josiah DeGuara, what they thought he was going to be. Just a versatile guy that you can line up all over, can be the H-back, can play on special teams. He's got good hands. Other than that, I don't get excited about this tight end class. There's just not a lot to talk about. There's like kid from Ohio State, Cade Stover. I think he has a shot to be a top 100, but I don't know. And then Theo Johnson from Penn State tested really good. So he could be someone that maybe sneaks in there. And then the kid from Texas, Jatavion Sanders, he's maybe going to go top 100. I don't know. I don't see it for him. But I think somebody could fall in love with him. Maybe the Dolphins see him and like think they could maybe catch a spot off for him on the offense. So it just, yeah, this class just not a lot to talk about other than Brock Bowers, who's a great talent, probably going to go in the top 10. Maybe the Jets get Aaron Rodgers a weapon. Who knows?
Yeah, well, we won't spend too much more time talking about it. Let's move on to offensive tackle. You know, offensive tackle, offensive line, we're going to do interior and offensive tackle with separate groups here. You know, this is a deep class for offensive tackles. There, you know, PFF has potentially 8 going in the first round. You know, Joe Alt is the top of the class, it seems like, in everybody's book from Notre Dame. But, you know, this is one of those weird things where, you know, Green Bay offensive line in general, they draft super well, and they drafted super well all over the place within the draft. You know, it feels, you know, there's the Zach Tom thing where, like, he's playing tackle right now, but in the last couple of days, you know, they said that he could potentially be the starting center this year. So, like, does he move? And if you move him, like, then you've got a need at tackle. I'm blanking on the kid that took over for Bakhtiari this past year.
Rashid Walker.
And, yeah, you know, he's not Bakhtiari, but he was serviceable. And I don't know about you, but the way I look at offensive linemen, if I don't know your name, like, and you're starting, it's a good thing. It means that you're not getting, you know, turnstiled every time that there's a pass.
Yeah, screaming his name, like, what the heck?
Yeah, so, you know.
Cut Royce Newman.
Yeah. you know, so this could be interesting. And, you know, if Green Bay does draft an offensive tackle in round one, that could tell you a lot about the potential of Zach Tom moving. You know, doesn't necessarily – it's not the end-all, be-all, but this is definitely a draft that if you are looking for an offensive tackle, if you need one, like, it seems to be a pretty good draft for you.
This is the strongest position group in my mind, just because I think there's a shot that maybe 10 offensive tackles go in the first round, maybe just 10 offensive linemen. We're just going to say 10 offensive linemen, but it's such a talented group at the top. And the Packers having 11 picks gives you flexibility to maybe take like a project, like a Tyler Guyton, who could, this is kind of where the Zach Tom thing and Josh Myers contract kind of like gets a little funky. Cause it's like, maybe they could take Tyler Guyton and let him sit for a year. Zach Tom plays right tackle for a year. Josh Myers plays center. You let Myers walk in free agency, then Tom kicks inside the center, and then you can plug Guyton into right tackle. It's just interesting trying to project what the Packers are going to do. Because, yeah, you look at the talent that's going to be there on the board, and there's going to probably be a talented offensive tackle on the board when the Packers are on the clock in the first with the 25th pick. and then you can take him. But then do you let him sit for a year? Do you kick Tom inside the right guard? Do you kick him inside to play center? And then you maybe move Myers the right guard. It's going to be interesting to see if they do take an offensive tackle in the first round, how they get him on the field. And maybe they let him sit for a year. Like I said, maybe you let Zach Tom play right tackle one more year, let Myers play, let Myers walk in free agency, and then you kick Tom inside, then slide whoever you take in and let him play right tackle. So it'll be interesting just because there is so much talent there at the top that Gutekunst might want to protect Jordan Love and get someone there in there for the right tackle for the future.
Yeah, you know, and it's so interesting, though, because Green Bay is notorious for drafting a bunch of linemen, offensive mm-hmm. tackle and interior, like round 3, 4, 5, and yep. turning them into just walls, which is great yeah. because it gives you the flexibility that you don't have to spend a top pick necessarily on the offensive line, but definitely a great class to be looking. You know, if the Packers feel that they need it, and right now I would not be surprised if they end up with, I mean, it feels like they end up drafting 3-4 offensive linemen every year anyway throughout the totality of the draft. I wouldn't be surprised to see it again. You know, it feels like they need some depth. It feels like they don't, you know, part of the problem Green Bay had last year, it feels like they got off to that slow start because they just were shuffling the offensive line around mm-hmm. all the time. And second half of the season, they kind of found everybody's groove, but now it sounds like they might be, you know, reshuffling it again.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's definitely, though, you can see the difference between having a solid foundation up front, i.e. second half of the year, where nobody was getting moved around, everybody kind of felt comfortable with where they're at, and the first half of the year where it was just turnstiles everywhere, you know, it makes a big difference in your team. So it'll be interesting to see what Green Bay does with it. But definitely, like you said, you know, great class to take somebody on the offensive tackle. And then interior offensive line, your guards and your centers. I'm interested to see where you have this ranked because it seems like it's not a great position this year as far as interior, but it's not terrible either. It's kind of what I've been seeing. It doesn't feel like there's anybody that truly stands out, but there's also some good depth there, it feels like.
It's my seventh rated position. And it's interesting that you kind of talk about the depth that they struggled last year because it was the first time the Gutekunst didn't take an offensive lineman in the draft last year, 2023. And I think it kind of showed because they just didn't have the depth that they usually have. So it would be surprising if you didn't draft 3 or 4 offensive linemen this year just to kind of – because they need competition at right guard. They need a future center. They need a tackle behind Rashid Walker and Zach Tom. They're a Zach Tom injury away from having a major problem up front. So just – this class lines up well from the Packers' needs just because there are some quality players on the interior and at offensive tackle. And the Packers don't draft interior linemen – in the first round. Now Gutekunst has shown that he's willing to take Elgton Jenkins was an interior lineman. He took him in the second round. I think it was the 41st pick. I think, I can't remember, but he's shown that he's willing to take them early. And a guy like Zach Frazier out of West Virginia, who can play guard or center, could be a potential guy. Cooper Beebe, who's played all over the offensive line, is another one. Dominic Puny out of Kansas. He's someone that can play all 5 positions. He's a guy that they could target on day 2. Mason McCormick, it's a lot of experience. He played at SDSU. He's guard center project. And then Isaiah Adams is one of those guys that is just kind of fits the mold of what the Packers look for. He played tackle and he played guard. Good athlete. He's someone that I think they could take on day 2 as well. So just this draft class lines up well for what the Packers need, and they just need to bolster that offensive line to protect Jordan Love.
Yeah, you know, and it's so funny because – offensive line is and same thing with defensive line. It's never typically a sexy pick, right?
No.
You hear it picked in the first round, you're like, why? Like, I want a wide receiver. You know, I was that way last year. You know, I thought they would finally do it. But you know, Green Bay has done so well drafting offensive line and making it a priority. And I think it's probably one of the more undervalued reasons as to why Green Bay for the last 25 years, 25, 30, 35 years has been. I mean, when was the last time you can say Green Bay had a bad offensive line?
Like, yeah,
it's been quite a while. And I mean, and we even saw last year, again, that first half of the year, there was so much uncertainty with the offensive line. We hadn't seen that in Green Bay in how long, mm-hmm. and that's part of the reason we were all like, WTF, what is going on here?
Yeah.
And so I know it's not the sexy pick, but it certainly is very important. And, you know, I'm not a football nerd, but all the football nerds I talk to build your team inside out. Is what I've always been told. And
eat
so
your potatoes or something like that, is what they call it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know,
eat your veggies.
And again, right now with the offensive side of the ball, Jordan Love, you're set. Running back, you feel pretty good about. Wide receiver and tight end, great. Okay, well, make sure that they all have places to go now because they're not getting, you know, shoved in the backfield. So,
if you just think about what Gutekunst has done over the last few drafts, he's drafted Watson, Dobbs, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Tiger Kraft, Luke Musgrave. He's got the skill possession down now for Jordan Love. Now let's get the pillars up front. This is the draft where I think he's going to get maybe the starting right tackle of the future, the starting center, the starting right guard. I just think he's going to attack this draft by drafting the offensive lineman.
All right, well, let's move over to the defensive side of the ball now. Interior defensive line, not necessarily the deepest class. This is another interesting position because you have Devontae Wyatt there. You know, Kenny Clark is still under contract, but, you know, he doesn't have an extension yet. What are they going to do with him? You know, they're moving from a 3-4 to a 4-3, so how much more depth do you need there? You know, the defense is going to look, from everything that I understand, it's going to look very different with the way that they're running it. Obviously, the scheme is completely different moving from a 3-4 to a 4-3. But, you know, PFF has a couple going in the first round. They've got 7 in the top 100. I'm interested to see where you have this ranked as far as, you know, the position itself and if this is something that Green Bay should be, you know, looking to target given what they have on the roster and the contracts that they have.
Yeah, I haven't just ranked ahead of the interior offensive lineman. I think with Byron Murphy and Johnny Newton going maybe in the top 25, I put it a tier above. It's kind of like the wide receiver thing, I think. I think it has to be specialized. I think it has to be someone that can maybe replace Kenny Clark if you're going to draft him. I think that's what you have to have in mind. If you're thinking you're not going to re-sign Kenny Clark, you have to draft someone that can maybe be in his mold. So maybe like a Chris Jenkins on day two could be somebody that you target that could maybe come in and replace Kenny Clark. Now, you're talking about replacing one of the best defensive tackles in the league, so I just don't know if that's feasible. But I think you can never have enough quality defensive linemen. Like you said, build the trenches. I think it works on the defensive side of the ball too. And Green Bay has struggled to stop the run forever. So it wouldn't be surprising if they took one early, especially if Byron Murphy fell to them at 25. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but if he was on the board, I think he has everything that you're looking for. He's a high-end athlete. He can clog up running lanes. He can get after the quarterback. He just does everything well, which is why I don't think he'll be there at 25. But I think he is someone that if he fell to them at 25, I think he would be the pick.
Okay. Well, I mean, defensive line, it's gonna look interesting this year. And, you know, we'll see what Green Bay does with that. I imagine it will be something that they target. Again, making that switch to the 4-3, uncertainty with Kenny Clark. And, you know, I don't know what it is in Green Bay. I don't know. I mean, you know, Devontae Wyatt 2 years ago, they took him in the first round, and his rookie year, like, he didn't see the field till the end of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, and so if you're going to move on from Kenny Clark at the end of this year, like, maybe now's the time to grab somebody because at least in Green Bay, like, defensive tackles, interior defensive line, like, for whatever reason, even when they're first-round picks, they don't make the field their rookie year. So that could be interesting to see what they do there. Edge rusher. Okay, so this is a position that is it feels weird in Green Bay because Rashawn Gary is the stud, right? Preston Smith is your solid number two. He's the most veteran player on the team. I was very saddened. I had to look up his birthday because I am like a month and a half older than him, so I'm now older than every player on the roster as of right now. And then
I feel that.
And then there's Lucas Van Ness, the first round pick from last year, which, you know, I will say they used what, like the 13th or 15th pick on him or something.
Yep. Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen him be a little bit more in the rotation for that high of a first round pick. I understand he's behind Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary, and I don't expect him to be pushing Rashawn Gary, but this year it feels like he should be pushing Preston Smith for that number two spot. And edge rusher is one of those things in the league, you can never have too many. I mean, now you don't need eight, right? But it is a get a quarterback, protect your quarterback, and then get after the other team's quarterback weak. Like that's where we're at. So, and you know, with Preston Smith being as veteran and being the elder statesman on the team, you got to start wondering, you know, how much longer is Green Bay going to keep him around? Green Bay seems to do a really good job of kind of rotating this position where, you know, there always seems to be a succession plan for a lot of these important positions a year or two before it actually happens. So right now, if, you know, hoping Van Ness turns out well, right, if he becomes a stud in the number two, you know, you could move on from Preston Smith or if Preston Smith's your three the following year. Like, that's not a bad three to have, right? But, you know, this is a position, I would say it's good but not stellar. Would that be fair to kind of categorize this position group this year?
Yeah, I have it ranked as the fourth best group, just behind the quarterback, offensive tackle, and wide receiver, just because of the top end talent, like the Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, the kid from UCLA, Latu, Chop Robinson. I think they're all going to maybe go in the first round. And then you got Marshawn Nealon, Darius Robinson, Chris Braswell, Jonah Ellis, Braylon Trice. There's a lot of guys on day two that just bring this group up. And like you said, it's hard to project because let's say Jared Verse does fall to them at 25. Would they spend another first-round pick on an edge rusher when they just took Van Ness and they do have Preston Smith? But then it's kind of like Preston Smith, this could be his last year. So now you can have Jared Verse waiting in the wings just like you did with Lucas Van Ness, and then Lucas Van Ness steps in. So it's just – it'll be interesting. This is why it's just such – it's hard to project what the Packers are going to do just because this draft class with the top-end talent on offense, they're going to push defensive players down that probably normally wouldn't be there. And so it'll just be interesting to see if he would take another first-round pick on an edge rusher just with Van Ness and Gary. You think those two are the two pillars in the future, but then you can add maybe a Jared Verse to that rotation. You're cooking with gas there. You're going to be getting after the quarterback and – it's one of those things, like you said, you just can never have enough guys that can hunt the quarterback. It's the Ocean's 11 quote all the time. You think we need one more? All right, we'll get one more. And that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I don't know how I'd feel about it in the first round. Just, you know, looking at the rest of the defense, especially with the transition, it feels from 3-4 to 4-3, it feels like edge is like the one position where you're just like, all right, not a whole lot changes, and you feel good about it going into this year. But, I mean, as we're going to talk, they need another inside linebacker, and it's not a great draft class for that. You know, they would love to have another safety. Again, not a great draft class for that. And then corner right now, like, I mean, you like what they have. Like, I look at it beyond Jair, like, you like what's in Green Bay, but, like, you don't feel like you love it right now. And so we'll get into that because, I mean, that's the last three positions here that we have. But, you know,
I think
a good class, but it seems like not necessarily something they need to target in the first
round. No, I think if they take one, I think it would be surprising for people. But I think Darius Robinson is someone that is a sneaky player that could be the pick at 25 just because he is a piece that can move around the defensive line. He's not just an edge rusher. He can play on the interior. And I just – he kind of seems like someone that the Packers would be interested in just because of his versatility to move around the defensive line.
Absolutely. Well, let's move into linebacker. You know, this is the position outside of Quay Walker. You have Isaiah McDuffie. They need a couple more just due to the transition to the 3-4 from the 3-4 to the 4-3. You know, and this again is a weak class with limited starting potential year one. You know, and this, it's also, it's not great because, you know, Quay Walker, you know, he seems so up and down, right? You have moments where you're like, dude, yep, that is exactly what we drafted and thought we were going to get. And then you have moments where you're like, dude, like what is going on? Isaiah McDuffie, I know like he looked good last year, but you know, there were some injuries. It was in limited, you know, it kind of seemed like near the end of the years when you started noticing them. And so now does that translate to a 17 game season? You know, what does that look like? And then the question then becomes, you know, I mean, you've got two two linebackers total in the first two rounds that they that PFF has graded, you know, do you spend a high pick on that? You know, and it really drops off after that. So, I mean, I would assume linebacker is, if not dead last for you, it is second to last.
It's last. It's one of those things where it would have been nice if they would have been able to keep Devondre Campbell. Now, I know Devondre Campbell didn't play great last year. He wasn't who he was 2 years ago or whatever it was when he had his all-pro year. But it just – looking at this class, I think there's Edgerrin Cooper, who I think is kind of like a Quay Walker. He's a run-and-hit linebacker. He is really explosive. I think he would be a really good fit with Quay Walker if you want to just let two guys just – unleashed and not really think about the game, just let them run after the running back, ball carriers, chase down the quarterback. And then there's Peyton Wilson, who I think if it wasn't for his injury history, he probably would be the top linebacker, maybe someone that you're talking about. Okay, maybe we can take him at 25, but I just, given his injury history, his age, I just don't know if that's something the Packers would even entertain. Maybe now if he goes to the third round, maybe that's someone where you feel comfortable taking him. And then you got Junior Colson from Michigan, who I think is probably the best fit for the Packers, just because he is a smart, intelligent player that could probably wear the green dot. He is sideline to sideline range. I think he'd be a really good fit on day two. And then there's just like a bunch of athletic guys like Trevon Wallace from Kentucky and then Cedric Gay from North Carolina. I think those two guys are someone that they could maybe target on day two as well. And then you get into day three and it's slim pickings. There's the kid from Washington who I really like. I think he could be someone that could be a good fit for them if they want to wait till day three. And then after that, it's, you're drafting guys to be hopefully just special teamers and not really seeing the field a whole lot on defense the first year.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's probably with what everybody feels Green Bay needs, this is probably the most disappointing one because at least at safety, you can say, well, we signed Xavier McKinney in free agency, right?
Yeah.
You know, this is like, well, it feels like it's Quay Walker and then, like, and that there's still a question mark there, and Isaiah McDuffie you're hopeful for, and then it's like who's the next guy, right? And
yeah,
you know, so this is probably the most disappointing, that it's, you know, this year, the transition happening this year, that this position just isn't that great. So well, let's move to corner. You know, this is a deep class with multiple starters. It feels kind of like the wide receiver class almost, like ironic, they mirror each other, right? You know, you've got, you know, potentially, you got four in the first round with potentially two in the top 10. You've got five in the second round and 10 plus, you know, in the top 100. Now, it's interesting because you need a bunch of corners. So it makes sense that there's a lot of corners that, you know, can play the position. But, you know, this is interesting because, like I said, you have Jair, which everybody feels good about him. I'm really excited to see how Jair plays in this defense because the scheme-wise, at least from the sounds of it, seems to fit Jair very well. And then, you know, obviously it was great to keep Keyshawn Nixon as your special teams guy, you know, that slot corner. And then they kept Valentine and not Valentine, correct? And so, you know, that's just do you want him starting 17 games? And then there's the whole question with Eric Stokes. Like, I mean, it seems like when he's healthy, he can play the position, but I mean, the reality is he hasn't been healthy for almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
And that's nothing against him, but the best ability is availability. And so
this
feels like, you know, I know everybody's big on Cooper DeJean from Iowa. I don't know how I feel about that in the first round. I don't know how I feel about a corner in the first round, just because it feels like you can get somebody later in the second or third round that, you know, would fit your defense just as well. And you wouldn't have to spend a top pick on it, but this has got to be one of the higher rated positions, I assume, with you.
Yeah, it's up there. I think talk about the fit for the defense. I think Eric Stokes, if he stays healthy, he's going to be a great fit in this defense as well. He likes playing press man. That's what he did at Georgia. I think that if he can stay healthy, I think we're going to see Eric Stokes kind of rediscover his rookie form. I think he is someone that is going to ease Green Bay Packer fans' minds. If he can stay healthy, I think they have two lockdown corners on the perimeter, then Nixon inside. As for Cooper DeJean, I actually think if you draft him, you move him to safety. I don't think you mess around with him playing corner. With this being a weak safety class, maybe that's what the Packers are thinking of doing. But I do like this class. I think there's a lot of talent, especially in the top half with Terry Arnold and Quinion Mitchell from Toledo. I think those are two guys that maybe the Packers think about trading up for if they really think that they need to add a corner. I don't know if they necessarily need to. I think it would be kind of one of those things where, okay, Mitchell falls to 17, 18, and you just can't bypass that athleticism, that cover skills, the ball skills. He's a player that I think I could see Gutekunst falling in love with, and maybe if he slides down far enough, maybe he's someone he trades up for. Now, he could go top 10, though, so that could be null and void. And then you got TJ Tampa in day two, the kid from Missouri. Andrew Phillips is another guy that is really good from Kentucky. So it's a nice class. I really like the depth, especially on day two. I think if the Packers want to add somebody, that's probably the route they go, is getting somebody on day two.
Yeah, it's definitely it's probably one of the weirdest positions for Green Bay, because, again, if everything works out well, you like the four corners that you have on the roster right now. But, again, beyond Jair, right, like, I mean, I don't – nothing against Keyshawn Nixon. I don't think you want him as your number two on the outside, right? He feels way more like your slot nickel corner.
Yes.
And Valentine, again, he looked good last year, but, you know, that was – in fill-in role. He wasn't the continuous starter. Do you want him there for 17 weeks, 18 weeks? And then, again, you know, I really hope that Eric Stokes can stay healthy, because I agree with you. I think he will be a good fit in this, you know, in this defense. And it would be nice to, you know, just not have to worry about drafting yet another corner, you know, because of injuries. So it is a weird position for Green Bay this year. I could see it, like, if they didn't draft a corner, like, at all, I wouldn't be surprised. And if they took two, like, I also wouldn't be surprised.
It goes even just – Jair's even a question mark, too, just because he hasn't played a full season however long as well. And then if you even just look past this year, I think it's Alexander and Valentine and Nixon are the only three under contract. So it's just – it wouldn't be surprising to see if they took two or three corners, just because they're thinking of the future and trying to get ahead of the curve there.
Yeah. Well, Brennan, let's wrap this up here. Safety. This is, you know, this is, again, right up there with the linebacker group. I don't know if this is your worst graded one. I think you said linebacker was worst graded, but this is
there. Safety's right ahead of tight end. So third right to ahead. Last.
Yeah. Okay. And I would assume you have it there because of the kid out of Minnesota as being the only player in this draft that anybody feels could be a first round pick. And then there's a whole lot of specialty roles after that. And it's hard because, you know, again, Green Bay, you know, it's a position you feel a little bit better about. Like I said, you got Xavier McKinney, who, you know, everybody's very excited about, but, you know, you need two safeties, maybe three. And I mean, I haven't looked at the roster recently, but it's Xavier McKinney and a bunch of on the roster. And, you know, you would like to be able to fill it with, you know, especially because it feels like a position that if you can get the kid out of Minnesota, and I don't know if Green Bay would be interested with, you know, in him at 25 if he's still there, but you're kind of hoping for, if you can spend a first round pick, you would love a day one starter, not a project. This is somebody that you'd have to feel comfortable with potentially, you know, week one, maybe week two, three, four, being ready to go and filling in and doing well at that position. Good news is for any rookies that Green Bay might draft at the safety position is outside of Xavier McKinney, you know, like, you should be able to compete.
No, this is going back to Cooper DeJean. I think if the Packers were to draft him, I think they view him as a safety. I think he'd slot in perfectly right next to McKinney. I think he's a natural playmaker. He can line up in the slot too, and he has the versatility. If you wanted to, you maybe kick him out on corner once in a while. But I think if they're going to take a safety, it'd be him, and they'd move him to safety. Now, I know there's fans, they see that, they're like, oh, why would you do that? Demaryius Randall all over again. Well, I just think DeJean is a better player. Great athlete. And then you get the day two. And this is why I wouldn't be surprised maybe if the Packers did trade down, just because it kind of aligns with their needs. They could take a linebacker at 41 and then a safety at like 58 or whatever pick they get with the trade down. And then when you get into that range, there's Jaden Hicks from Washington State, who I think could be high on their board. I think he'd be a perfect fit next to McKinney. Just he's a downhill enforcer. He is versatile too. He can line up all over the field. And then you got Javon Bullard, who can play in the slot. He can play deep. He's a kind of a center field rangy guy. And then Cole Bishop, another one of those versatile guys that's tough as nails that can come down to the box and play. And then you got Newman, too. Natural playmaker. I think he finished his career as Minnesota's all-time leader in interceptions. His pro day numbers, when he tested, did not test well. He's still recovering from a knee injury. So would the Packers take him off the board because of that? I don't think so. I think they understand that he was recovering from a knee injury. He just wanted the run. And I think he'd be a great fit, too, just because of his natural playmaking ability and his ability to come down in the box and play. So I just – there's – it's not a great class, but I think there's pieces on day two that if you took him at 41, 58, I think you'd be happy with that pick. It's unlike linebacker, where I feel like when you take Edgerrin Cooper at 41, it's like, okay, we got our guy. Now let's not take any more linebackers from this crappy class.
Yeah, well, it's definitely, again, you know, it's disappointing because it's a position of need for Green Bay this year. So hopefully they can find somebody that they like. But let's – so that's the entire – I'm sorry, we're not ranking kickers and punters.
Good thing. All I know is the kid from Iowa is a really good punter, Torrey Taylor, whatever his name is.
Yeah, the punting machine.
Yep.
which speaks more to Iowa's offense probably than anything. But, well, Brennan, just real quickly, so let's just review this real quick. So who do you – what position group from this draft class do you have as the top of the draft?
It was kind of a 1A, 1B thing, but I went offensive tackle just because of the fact that I think there's going to be a run on them from like the 15, the 25 range, where I think they're just going to be flying off the board. Whereas wide receiver is two, but I think three receivers are going to go in the top 10. So I went offensive tackle just because of the pure depth of the class. Whereas wide receiver, I think there's some top end talent, and then there's going to be a bunch of talent on day two. So I just went offensive tackle just because of the top end talent.
All right. And then the bottom was linebacker and tight end, correct?
Yep. Linebacker was the worst, yeah.
Okay.
And I did tight end second to last just because Brock Bowers carries them up, so.
Okay. So so offense wins at the top.
Yeah.
Defense really loses at the bottom, but tight end also not great at the bottom of the draft. And then So obviously offensive tackle and wide receiver you had as the top. So for the offensive side of the ball, that would obviously be your top. What is, as far as just looking at the defensive side of the ball, of all the position groups, what is the best position group defensively in this year's draft?
I think it's the edge group. I think just those top end guys that are going to go in the top 15, top 25 kind of carries them above the cornerback group, where the corners, you know, you got Terry Arnold and Quinion Mitchell, who I think – in a regular draft class where there wasn't so many talented wide receivers, quarterbacks, offensive tackles, they'd probably be top 10 picks. But I think just because of that, there's a good chance that Mitchell doesn't come off the board till maybe 15 or 17.
All right. Well, Brennan, that is almost 1 hour of draft coverage there on your Sunday. So, you know, it's getting nice out. If you got to cut the grass already, perfect. Slap, you know, at this point.
Yeah.
At this point, hopefully you're already into your hour of grass cutting, but I appreciate everybody taking the hour out of your day to listen to Brennan and I break down each position, strengths, weaknesses. Definitely will be interesting to see what Green Bay does. Brennan, real quick, if people want to follow any of your work, get in touch with you. I don't know if you have a Twitter or X or whatever. I call it Twitter still.
Yeah, it's Twitter still.
But if you have that, you know, how can people follow your work?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at my name, Brennen underscore RUPP, Roop. And then you can just find my work. Just go over to PackersWire.com and you'll see my name there. It's plastered all over right now because it's draft season and we're getting to the nitty gritty. So a lot of draft content coming out that way.
All right, awesome. And you will be joining me for the next 2 or 3 weeks. And as well, Gage Bridgeford, he's part of our team, but I know he does baseball in the spring. He coaches baseball. His schedule is very packed. So he may be sprinkled in here and there, but otherwise, Brennan and I will be holding it down on Sundays for you for the next couple of weeks, looking at draft stuff. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. Ross Uglum and Andy Herman, they will both be putting out separate episodes, I believe, of just different draft coverage. I don't know what their topics are for tomorrow, but make sure you keep it locked right here. We'll keep you informed on everything with the draft, with the Packers leading up to the draft. And then I believe, Brendan, next weekend we've got – I don't know what our topic – I don't know off the top of my head. I don't know what our topic is next weekend. But following weekend, I believe we get to go over all the day three guys. So yep. That'll be fun to break down. That's always the most interesting one to do because it's the one that people know the least amount about. But therefore, because of that, I feel like it's actually one of the better ones to give a listen to because yep. – You know, I'll be honest, sixth round guys, seventh round guys, I don't know who they are, but I want to know who they are. So, well, thank you, Brendan, for taking the time today, joining the show. We appreciate it. It was a great conversation. So thank you. Look forward to talking to you next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Keep it locked right here. We'll keep you informed on everything with the draft coming up over the next couple of weeks. And as always, go Packers.